Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. And Ben, we have a whole new swath of, issue. It's for college football. This one may take the cake.
This one does take the cake. This is by far terrible.
And it revolves around another one of those restraining order situations where potentially guys that are signed with teams as free agents, like in the NFL, haven't necessarily played, I guess, official snaps. They've played some preseason snaps. One in particular had a couple of sacks, I think, in the last preseason game. But I think there's guys that played at LSU last year, guys that played at Ole Miss, which, you know, what this screams to me is, screams Lane Kiffin to me. But guys that are pretty decent SEC players signed with NFL teams could be coming back to college football. And it's like it keeps ramping up another level.
Well, this goes back to I'm going to take this back to the Bediako situation.
Okay.
Because how many times did we scream Bediako signed paperwork? He signed a contract, because, you know, the Alabama fans would always say, well, what about so-and-so for this team? Or what about so-and-so for this team? And it's like those two things are not the same situation. This is the same situation. These guys either got drafted or signed a free agent contract, you know, with a team. And it's almost like, hey, I'm not going to play, so I'm going to go back to college and sign, because they've already been through a couple of weeks of camp already.
Or I could potentially make more money.
Yeah. Or I could potentially make more money depending on what school it is. I mean, if it's a LSU, if it's an Ohio State, if it's a Michigan, if it's a deep pocket place, you know, and I've heard people say, yeah, but there's restrictions. They've either got to already, their name had to have been in the transfer portal prior.
I don't think that's the case anymore.
I don't either.
I think this restraining order kicked that one out.
Not with this injunction, or restraining order, or whatever the heck you want to call it now. And so it's frustrating because, number one, it is going to be affecting amateur athletes that may think they have a position. I mean, let's just use the one kid, for example. I told you the linebacker that was at LSU, got drafted, is playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
He didn't get drafted, by the way.
Well, he didn't get drafted. He's an unrestricted free agent. And so they picked him up. They signed him to a contract, a $3 million contract, 3 years. Signing bonus, $15,000, $100,000 guaranteed. And he's gotten down there to camp and Tampa and realized, well, I'm not going to get a whole lot of playing time. I thought I was better than I was. And so he's probably going back to LSU. And after working out with a bunch of NFL coaches, players, all the up above, for the last, Auburn's preseason consisted of 13 days at Opelika's Grand National Resort and Marriott. This guy's preseason has consisted of working out with grown men that could teach him tricks of the trade, as well as probably during the offseason when he signed that free agent contract after he didn't get drafted, he probably was already at the facility learning things that he probably wouldn't learn in college. So I just think that there's an advantage for this. And I'm going to go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off and say a lot of this is Lane being Lane, because they have said that there's a probability that like six of these guys are all going to end up at LSU.
Because there were some Ole Miss guys on the list too. Yeah. One of which I think was like made an all SEC team, interior defense.
Honestly, I wouldn't hate it if Auburn talked to him.
Well, if that happens, then how is your argument? Like, your argument is kind of.
I was going to say it's wrong, but if everybody else is going to do it, why not take advantage of the system?
I was going to ask you, like, how do you feel about that? If, like, I mean, we just talked about JJ Falk being injured. There is some. I mean, there was some connection with Jack Peiburn, however you pronounce his last name, to Auburn, because Harsin was recruiting him and he ended up going to Florida. So there was at least like a little bit of an Auburn relationship. I think that bridge may have been burned, but like, what happens if Auburn decides to get in the mix with Jack? Like, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I still don't like it. But if we are able to add some depth and take advantage of the rule and the opportunity, I'm more than willing to allow Auburn to add depth. Now,
isn't that the problem? Isn't that part of the problem, though?
Oh, I completely think that it's part of the problem. I think that and that's why I didn't like I don't think it should be as easy as getting some sort of judge to rule in favor of, hey, this player. And I get the 5 for 5. And so they're saying they're taking it because they haven't done their 5 years. So they're able to take advantage of it that way. I get the argument, but
that's why they're eligible is through a restraining order that's already been filed.
I know. It's I'll go ahead and be that guy that says it's going to piss me off if Lane gets all of them. And yeah, it's going to make me happy if Auburn's able to add depth on the defensive line if they're able to grab one or two.
Didn't we add a basketball player? Wasn't one of the basketball players added based off of this?
Yeah, we got a guard from
Utah State.
Utah State, yep.
Was it a 5 for 5 thing?
Yeah, 5 for 5 thing. Yeah, he's in his fifth. He's granted his fifth, so Auburn grabbed him. I mean, he's going to be, you know, and he's a bench player. We're talking about, and not that that makes a difference, but – you know, he's a bench player. I mean, Auburn just added
Colby the kid. Keane.
Wasn't the kid from Troy, the Taylor kid, wasn't he 5 for 5? They were able
yeah,
to get
yeah, him? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. And so it just
neither one of those guys. I don't think Colby Keane has like played even in the G League. I'm not 100%
sure. No, they have. That's what makes this different, is these guys are coming from an NFL locker room to back to a collegiate locker room, which makes it feel wrong.
Yeah.
I know it's within the rules that have just been.
It's not within the rules, though. It's not. because they're having to file a restraining order to get them to play. Like, that's what people, when you have these conversations, they're like, I can't believe the NCAA is this. I can't believe the NCAA is that. Guys, they're trying. Like, they're the ones that are – it's not the NCAA that's making these decisions. The reason these people get to play is not because the NCAA is allowing them. It's because of these restraining orders that come from a court, because the school does not give a what happens when the actual court date comes and it's ruled upon, because the season will have already been played. It's like, season, we don't care.
Season and playoffs will already be played. Like, by the time this hits the court system, it'll be April. Like, we'll be in well into baseball season by the time all this takes place.
Yeah. So
it is.
And Trinidad Chambliss thing is an example. When is his court date?
February, isn't it? Didn't we decide that?
I think it was like the week after the playoffs.
Yeah. You and I were talking. So that's why it went null and void, because they set the court date and it was like, well, hell, season's over.
Yeah. The preliminary, major preliminary injunction hearing for Trinidad Chambliss. Wait, it says it took place. Oh, that was the preliminary injunction. Let's see when it says. It says this legal hurdle's cleared. Without any further active court dates currently scheduled. I thought there was a court date at the end of February.
You and I looked at, I thought there was a February court date, because I thought we pointed that out in one of the pods that we talked about, because – or maybe they were talking about the potential court date has been set or something like that. Or potential court date.
And it could be also that, like, the NCAA is like, well, what's the point of having a court case if
– he won't even be in school then.
Yeah, he'll be done. The season's over.
Yeah, season's over. He's not going to start back classes in January.
And, like, what good does it do anybody, I guess, unless it sets precedent. But what good does it do anybody if – you know, you do have that court case in February, and then they rule Trinidad Chambliss ineligible, but he just finished his quote unquote last year.
And like with this linebacker that was at LSU and this defensive lineman that was Ole Miss. I mean, Kyle, it's August 20th. So by the time that hits the courts, it's probably going to be May. If Chambliss was that far away, and they were looking at February, March, then these guys probably wouldn't ever see the inside of a courtroom till May, June, July next year. And they're not only is the season over with, they're college career because they're doing the 5 for 5. I mean, they fit within that 5-year window. Their fifth year's over. So it seems tainted to me. You know, regardless of, you know, take away the lawyers and all the jargon, something about some guy coming from a professional locker room where they signed a contract.
Yeah.
This, because like you and I, we kept harping on the Betty Yako thing. He signed 2 contracts.
Is that how we're justifying? Is that how we're making it feel right in our head? Because
no, I mean, that's what I'm saying now. Yeah. Is, I mean, these guys signed contracts. Like they think of it this way. The example I used this morning, let's just say I get recruited to go to another radio station. And I go to that radio station. I realize, man, they really sold me a bunch of bull. It ain't what I thought it was here. And I go, nah, I'm going to go back to my station. Like, they're not going to let me do that. They're going to enforce like a non-compete. They're going to say, you can't do it. And I don't have the luxury that they do where I can come back here and work until it makes its way through the court system. They're in a regular person's world, I'm going to have to sit out of work and not get paid while I wait for the court system to work its way out if I want to stay in this industry. So,
yeah,
I don't know if that's something that they start doing. I don't know if you can do that because, you know, some sort of non-compete when guys sign, it's like, hey, not only are you signing this, we need you to sign this waiver that since we see you've got another year of eligibility left, you're not going to go back to college and play. I don't know if they can start doing that. Maybe the NCAA makes them sign an exit contract when they get drafted. It's like you – because right now, if I'm not mistaken, it's just like word of mouth. Oh, I'm foregoing my senior year. Like, ain't nothing signed.
Yeah.
So make them sign something that says, not only am I foregoing it, like I give up all college eligibility.
No school's going to do that, though.
No, I said the NCAA. I said the NCAA make them do it.
How do you make them do it? I got an idea. I got an idea I want to throw by you. I want to run by you okay. That I would like to see that I would call a – BD move by the NCAA. If they could pull it off, I'll run it by you in just a second. But before we do that, got to give a quick shout out to Prize Picks. It's a scorching sports summer, and you can make all your picks on Prize Picks. Women basketball and baseball are heating up. Football preseason is already here, and with big tennis slams and big golf tournaments and college football on the horizon, there's no better place for all your summer sports picks. Than Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app. But Ben, for me, this time of the year means Auburn football is getting close. Yes. And as we get closer to kickoff, I got a new guy that I'm adding to my more watch this season. And it's Bryson Washington with all of the reports that he's starting to step up. That's definitely a player I'll be watching when the player projections start rolling in. That's what makes Prize Picks so much fun. I can pick more or less on player stats, build my lineups, and have another reason to follow every snap. One lineup, one app, all the picks, and Prize Picks is now available in all 50 dadgum states that matters. Download the app today and use the code CLNS to get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup. Wow. Download the app today. Again, use that code CLNS to get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, America's number one sports pick app. Ben, I got an idea.
Hold on, before you do that idea.
Okay.
I got to reverse it on you. You asked me, what if, and this is just a short answer. You don't have to draw it out. What if Auburn has an opportunity to get that all SEC defensive lineman from Ole Miss coming back from the pros to add depth to the depth chart at Auburn?
I as much as I want to say screw everyone, I have to have some consistency.
Okay.
And I would say no. Now, let's talk about this another scenario, okay? Because these guys, the LSU guys, may go back to LSU. If Auburn had some guys – now, if they were drafted, like if they were undrafted and they signed contracts, I would say they're out. But if Auburn had some guys that had that fifth year and they appealed for it and, you know, went through the process to get that fifth year and they came back, then I would be totally okay with it.
Okay.
Or like the addition of, you know, Trey Taylor. I would be fine with a guy like that coming back. And I guess Colby King is a very similar scenario too. To me, once you start signing NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball contracts, you're done. You're done, period.
No, and that, you know, before we move on, you just mentioned one sport, Major League Baseball. It's going to happen because none of those kids have tried to sue yet to come back. But some of those kids that get drafted and go to the minors and realize that they suck in the minors, they're going to come. They're going to sue to come back. Now that the NFL, it was NBA first, NFL, your other big one is Major League Baseball. It's next. So go ahead and get prepared for it. You and I will have the same discussion podcast-wise come baseball season.
You're probably right. Here's my idea, Ben.
Okay.
If we don't care about court cases because of preliminary injunctions and things like that, why doesn't the NCAA partner with the College Football Playoff Committee? I know the College Football Playoff, it's sort of like a loose partnership, but say, here's the deal, College Football Playoffs. It's arbitrary. Like it's an arbitrary method of how you pick
playoffs. It's a placement thing. I know they say they have their own rules within that room, but technically it's the playoff committee that places those people in those positions.
So it's all arbitrary. They can come up with their own rules. They pretty much have and they change them. It seems like year to year. Say, here's the deal. Let's come up with an approved player is. This is a definition of an approved player. And the College Football Playoff can disqualify whoever they want to based off of them playing playing unapproved players, okay? So let's say they say Trinidad Chambliss, it doesn't fit that. So if you play him, y'all are disqualified from the playoffs. Sue us. We'll have the court case after the season's over. Who cares?
Yeah.
At that point, who cares?
Yeah.
You're probably, I mean, how many teams would be willing to risk that? You're basically saying we're not going to, I mean, like, if you can postpone that, if you can get that court date, that case, you know what? If you get that court case, three quarters of the way through the season, who cares? The guy, like more than likely, the guy wouldn't have been able to play because you can't risk it.
Well, and I think that you may be onto something because, again, I'm going to refer back to the Bediako situation. If you remember, they sat him for a little bit. He played for like seven games, and then they sat him again because the NCAA tournament is owned by the NCAA. And I do wonder if somebody within their organization reached out to either Alabama or to the selection committee and said, if they make it, if they have the wins that qualify them for the tournament, do not put them in because they played an ineligible player.
But no, they didn't sit him because of that. They sit him because they lost. He was deemed ineligible. He didn't get that temporary, his restraining order was lifted, basically. So
they said they were threatening to do that. So if it would have, let's just play the what if scenario.
Okay.
If that would have stayed, because they said that they were going to say the NCAA. They said we may deem you ineligible, your team, to not be selected because that's their tournament. Now, that's the problem with the playoffs. The playoffs are not run by the NCAA. The playoffs are run by the playoff committee and by college football. So I don't know how they would. I get what you're saying. I think it's a great idea. You're right. That's a BD move to say that. Say, you know what? We'll go to
sue us.
Sue us. I'm fine with it. But they'd have to get that playoff committee on board with them. And then you think that would be doable because you got people on that playoff board. Well, Gus Malzahn's going to be one. You got former coaches, former players. I mean, you got some outsiders too. But you got people on that playoff committee that, especially some of those old heads, that they're like, you know what? Yeah, this sucks, dude. Like, they shouldn't be doing this to college football. So they may be able to go to the playoff committee and say, you do not pick them. I don't care if they go undefeated. Do not let them in the playoffs because they've played five ineligible players this entire season that we don't agree with because they played pro sports and signed pro contracts.
We probably are making that way too easy. Like, we're probably making that like elementary school sounding. But that's really the like, give them a dose of their own medicine, I guess, is kind of how I would look at it. Okay, fine. Play if you play them, you're not going to play in the playoffs. Period. We're if you sue us, if you sue us,
one of our rules that you, if you play a pro player, you're not playing in the playoffs.
Period.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't matter if you sue us, and even what even if you win, like who cares? Who cares? Your guy didn't play.
Yeah.
And you didn't win the national championship. So that cost you. Your bad decision cost you whatever money you may win out of it. Like, who cares? It's not going to buy you a national championship. I don't know.
This is what comes about from Afternoon Delight. We now are solving college football's problems yet again.
Yeah.
In a very simple manner where, seriously, the NCAA can go to the playoff committee, talk to the Gus Malzahns of the world, the Condoleezza Rices of the world, and go, this is horse hockey. These guys signed pro contracts. They shouldn't be playing.
The hard part's going to be ESPN, though.
Oh,
because they own the because they own the rights, and Trinidad Chambliss is ratings. If he makes the college playoffs, so that's going to be your hurdle. It may not be so much the committee as it is ESPN.
You're going to have to get it. You can go to them now because they haven't started meeting yet. The playoff committee. Let's forget Trinidad Chambliss. Let's talk about all these recent ones that signed pro contracts.
Yeah.
Trinidad didn't do that. You know, I get
– he's playing in his eighth year. Like, consider – you know what I mean? Like, he's – that still, like, he doesn't – he is way outside the range.
25 years old, if I'm not mistaken. 24, 25.
I don't know how old he is, but
– it is – yeah, it – I get what you're saying. But, again, we may be thinking that may be too simple to do, but I don't know why they couldn't try that. I don't know why they couldn't go to the committee and say
– he turns 24 on August 24th. Trinidad Chambliss.
Yeah, so it'd be 24. So I don't know why that playoff – I don't know why the NCAA can't go to the playoff committee and go, hey, you guys implement these new rules every year. Here's one I want you to implement.
Yeah.
Help us out. Like, y'all say you want to fix college football. Here's your opportunity. Put your money where your mouth is and help us fix it.
You would have to be able to have, like, a very clear and executed across the board – definition of what's an eligible athlete, though, which that could get kind of hairy.
Yeah, I don't know that they could do that overnight. That'd take lawyers getting involved. And
football starts in two Saturdays. No, three Saturdays. Three Saturdays from now.
It starts week zero.
For Auburn. Week zero is next weekend.
Yeah.
Not this weekend, but, next weekend.
By the way, it's stupid that they call it that, but whatever.
I think it's going to be week one before long, especially if they expand the playoffs. Which is fine with me. Some people, do you have a hard feeling one way or the other about college football starting on Labor Day weekend because it's tradition? Does that bother you at all?
No,
me neither.
So doesn't you either?
No, no. I would much rather start the season early so you're not finishing in almost February.
I told you and I when we were fixing college football before in our previous pods. If they would go ahead and do what we said about having OTAs throughout the summer, hell, I'm okay with starting this weekend. I mean, you'd already have the practice time in because you'd be doing OTAs. I mean, it's not like you're keeping these guys out of class during the middle of the summer anyway. So what a hard stance I do hate, Kyle, not that it's affected Auburn because they haven't been in the playoffs, but this whole Auburn and Alabama playing on Thanksgiving weekend. And if they do make it to the SEC championship, they play the next weekend, and then they take a whole month off before they start the play. I hate that. I think that sucks. I don't like that.
So what? How do you feel though if they? How do you feel though if they move the season up? This may be a whole nother show. Move the season up, and then the Iron Bowl is no longer Thanksgiving weekend.
Fine by me. I'm still.
And you're starting. You're starting the playoffs like the first weekend or first or second weekend in December.
Totally okay with it. I'm not tied to dates. I don't.
Me neither.
Because let me just tell you, it's like somebody asked me that question. They said, well, then Auburn, Alabama won't be on Thanksgiving weekend. I was like, it wasn't when I was in college. And we did fine with it. We got used to it. I'm going to be either at the game or watching the game if they play the dadgum game in September. Like, I'm so, I mean, yeah.
We could open the year with them. I don't care.
I'm going to watch. So,
yeah.
I don't, the date doesn't bother me. I'm more along the lines of do what's best for, you know, the fans and the players, and quit taking these months off and quit saying, hey, you can't do practice time. Like, do OTAs. Let's dive into this thing, man. Let's fix it. You know, same thing like we talked about with the portal and all. There's just so many changes that could take place. And I get sick of hearing the, but we've always done it that way. I hate that in any form of business or anything. We've always done it that way. Well, let's move it around.
Yeah, I'm with you. Let us know what you think. We'll talk again soon. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.